The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, we move on to a little bit of drama. Well, I suppose drama might be a harsh word to call it, but this has been in the news a lot. Hyflux and how the story behind that has taken another twist. The struggling water company now taking legal action to sue SM Investments. SM Investments, by the way, was the investor that was supposed to be Hyflux's white knight, so to speak.
Yeah, well, this is not something, of course, that the SMI group was expecting when, well, they stepped forward to with a rescue deal. Then this deal was terminated by Hyflux just one day before shareholders were due to vote earlier this month on this rescue deal.
One of the lessons that you could say is worth taking away is the importance of practicing due diligence. And, you know, not just jumping on the bandwagon or following the actions of some big name investors like, say, Temasek Holdings, for example, which was one of the commonly cited reasons for investors that surfaced in the aftermath of this fallout.
Yeah. To help us understand this a little bit more this morning, Adam Wong, chief editor at The Fifth Person, which is an award-winning investor education blog, is joining us here this morning.
Adam, morning. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with the obvious. Do you have friends who invested in Hyflux?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I have a friend invested about $6,000 in the Hyflux perpetuals. Not too much compared to some of the stories that you read in the Straits Times where, you know, people lost quite a lot of money.
And you run this award-winning blog called The Fifth Person, right?
Yeah, we've been doing this for 5 years already, yes.
Okay. And I like Fifth Person, and you play on a number five. Five reasons why investors shouldn't buy a stock just because a high-profile company or a big-name investor owns it. I guess this is something, son of the day, so to speak, huh, Tim? Shall we start with the first one?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we meet a lot of investors at our events and workshops, and a lot of them, they come with the mindset that if some big investor is going to own the stock, they think it's going to automatically be a good investment because these big boys and they know what they're doing. Yeah. They've done all their research and they just jump in. A lot of times, that's not always going to be the case because there's so many factors involved into making a decision. So one of the reasons, the five reasons I listed out why you shouldn't do that. So the first one is you have very different financial needs compared to, let's say, Warren Buffett or Temasek Holdings. Okay. Everyone is unique. So Warren Buffett is one of the richest guys in the world. He's not saving for retirement, but you could be. So you need different investments for that. So that's the first reason.
Okay.
But the mindset from people, though, is like if you have a big name backing this, it is safe.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I know what you mean.
It's common sense, right? Practical for most of us.
Well, the thing is, there's so many different factors, like I was saying. It's not just you have different financial needs, you have different risk tolerances, you have different time horizons to your investment. And they have vastly different portfolios to you as well.
Okay.
So you have to take all this into account before just jumping into an investment, even if you've not done your research. So this is really something that I think a lot of retail investors need to be more discerning about. If they're going to follow the big boys, you don't just blindly follow their investments, but I think it's more important to know why they are buying these investments and whether they fit your goals and your risk profile and all of that.
Okay, so just to elaborate a little bit, and this would lead us to the second point that you made. So the first one being your needs and goals are different from high-profile companies.
Yeah.
But then we feel that, you know, as Timothy mentioned, it's safe, right? But at the same time, there's a difference in risk tolerance. What do you mean by this?
All right, so for some people, they have no problem investing in a high-growth company. It's a bit more volatile, it's risky. Some people just can't take risks. They prefer investing in government bonds, something that's very steady.
Okay.
So if you don't understand the investment rationale of why, you know, Temasek or Buffett or Li Ka-shing is investing in this company and what is the risk behind this particular asset, then it's very dangerous for you because you don't know whether this actually suits your risk profile. What if this company is going to die 50% in the next year or so? They may have done their research. They know what's happening. They're willing to take that sort of midterm loss on paper because they see the long-term potential of this investment. Mm-hmm. But if you don't understand what's happening and you see that loss in your, you know, in your stock trading account, you'll be wondering what's happening. Did this guy make a mistake? And if you need, you know, the money in the next year or so, you're going to put yourself on a lot of stress thinking that this is going to just eat you up.
So I kind of need to know, can I afford to take, because sometimes in investing, you may need to lose to win, so to speak. Can I afford to go through that first things first.
Everyone has different risk tolerances, and different assets have different volatility and all that. So you need to know whether that fits you as well.
And how long you're going to wait it out, right?
As you said, long-term that's a third reason as well. Yeah, so your time horizon is going to be different. So Buffett is very famous for saying that his favorite holding period is forever. Okay, no one thinks it's going to last
that long. He has the money for that.
Not just that. I think he really comes in with a perspective of, I see this company is going to be around for the next 50, 100 years. It's going to grow very steadily. And he's got you're right. He has a portfolio to hold that investment for such a long time. Mm-hmm. And for you, it could be very different. Maybe you need the money in the next 5 years. Maybe in the 10 years, emergencies could happen. I know a lot of investors, we always say you should only invest with money that you can afford to put aside. Touch for 10, 20 years, but things could change. All right, so you need to be aware of that. And again, it goes back to your goals. Do you need the money in the next 5 years, 3 years? If not, then you're going to check whether this time horizon of this investment actually suits you as well.
So you've talked about investors in high-profile companies have different needs and goals, difference in risk tolerance, time horizon being the third one. We've got Adam Wong, chief editor at The Fifth Person. He's talking about why investors shouldn't buy a stock just because a high-profile company or a big-name investor owns it. Reason number four, Tim.
The portfolio differences when comparing an individual investor to big-name investors. Adam, how does this matter to individual investors when they're planning to put money in a stock?
Yeah, I think this is one of my favorite things that I like to point out is that big investors have very big portfolios. It's very, very different. So for example, Temasek actually invested in Alibaba in 2016. Mm. All right, so they invested $500 million in Alibaba. If you're just a retail investor, you look at that headline and you don't go deeper into that, you think, oh my God, you know, Temasek must be really confident to put $500 million in Alibaba. Mm. But if you look at it on a portfolio level, Temasek in 2016 had a net portfolio of, I think, $280 billion.
Okay.
So it was about 0.3% of the entire portfolio. So even if Alibaba went something wrong with them, it was only 0.3% of Alibaba's portfolio. And if you didn't do your research and you thought, oh my God, I'm going to put half my investment into Alibaba because someone else is putting $500 million, then it's a totally different, it's just jumping the gun. Yeah. Mm. So you got to understand the risk behind your investment as well. Your portfolio management is another thing as well.
There's a lot of the underlining theme of don't just follow blindly in that sense. What you can afford doesn't mean, and can afford by in so many different areas, time, risk, et cetera,
that's right, yeah.
Wow, this is a great conversation. Adam Wong, chief editor at The Fifth Person, helping us out. You've got one more reason.
Yeah, I do have one more reason, which is
differences in access to information.
Yeah, that's right. So,
but shouldn't I be able to see everything?
No. Okay, so I think this is the reason why we trust the big boys. It's because we believe that they have access to information that we don't have.
Or we're just too lazy, really.
Yeah, too lazy to do our research and all that. So we just want to just outsource our research and analysis to someone else. But if you just do that and you don't do your own due diligence, then that could be really dangerous as well. I think that's the whole theme of this whole conversation.
But even then, when you're doing your own due diligence and doing your research, you kind of put in the words that you want to believe in, and then you come out with results that you already think at the back of
bias,
mind. I
think that's a very real thing that we have to consider as investors. So what I like to do is that I like to read articles that are basically going against my view. Because I know everything that's great. I mean, I know if I'm doing research on the company and I like it, I know everything is good about it. I don't need more information to tell me how great my analysis is. Right?
But human nature, though.
I know. So it's something
you need to find. We do that. We look for alternative views. But a normal person won't, I think. They would just want to verify what they already think.
That's true. So I think this is something that we need to train as investors, that you need to be able to read views that are opposing to yours and see whether they hold any water. Mm-hmm. Do they make sense? And if so, these are the risks that you need to be aware of. So they're actually helping you by giving you a different opinion and voice on what you believe in. Yeah.
Anything else that new investors should bear in mind if they're looking to make their first investment? Any easy tips to follow?
I think I'm not one to give stock tips
because
that's always a lot of, like I said, we don't want to follow anyone, not just me, right? Anyone like that. So I think it's important that you have your financial house in order before you go invest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's not something that you just think that, I have the potential to make to double or triple my money in the stock market in the next 5 years, because that sort of mindset blinds you to the risk that could happen. So you always want to come in from a perspective where, you know, what if things go wrong? Am I still covered?
Yeah.
So make sure you have your savings, your insurance, and then you want to make sure that you do your research and due diligence in the company before you actually make an investment.
So it's like understanding yourself first before you try and understand the investment.
Correct. I think it starts with yourself first.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate this. Adam Wong, chief editor at The Fifth Person in the studio with us this morning, talking about why you shouldn't just buy a stock just because a big name investor owns it.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.